Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. I wish to read to you the first 34 verses of John, the 9th chapter. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, and he made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? And some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How are thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. And they said unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was division among them. They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? And he said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind, and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? The parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth we know not, and who hath opened his eyes we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, Give God the praise, we know that this man is a sinner. And he answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he do to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses, As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, it was not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. blind people often figure prominently in biblical events, especially in the New Testament, and in the miracles of Jesus Christ. Opening the eyes of the blind, like this one that was born blind, was considered impossible. But it had been prophesied that such would be a distinguishing mark of identification of the Messiah, according to the prophecies by Isaiah. And even in the Old Testament, special consideration was given to the blind. In Leviticus 19, "Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind." In Deuteronomy 27, "Cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way." The subject suggests to us that we follow the blind man. That's what we're talking about. Follow the blind man. But that admonition seems to contradict a warning that Jesus one time gave, recorded in Matthew 15:14, "Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." But Jesus was not speaking of physical sight, but he was warning against false teachers here. We should not follow false teachers, lest we be destroyed as well as they. But the sense in which we admonish to follow the blind man is to encourage us to imitate him in his attitudes and his actions that would prove beneficial to us. I want to just mention to you four qualities that are deserving of imitation. But let us first understand this blind man himself. The man had been born blind, and his parents testified to that. His blindness was not due to any particular personal sin of his or his parents. All afflictions are not directly tied to some personal transgression, even though such things certainly have resulted from sin coming into the world. Sometimes people have bad things to happen to them, and they ask, "What did I do that God is punishing me?" Now, true enough, we can bring calamity upon ourselves by our sins. But hardships are common in life, and not always due to the consequences of our guilt of sin. Jesus made this plain when he denied this man's blindness was because of his sins. But the reason for all of this was that the works of God should be made manifest. The manner of healing was neither heard nor seen previously. Christ made clay from spittle, placed it on the man's eyes, told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. The man obeyed, and he came seeing. Friend, this was a miracle by the power of the Son of God. The power was not in the spittle, or the clay, or the water, or the man, but in Christ. But please notice, the beneficial power of the Lord was not realized by the man until he did what the Lord told him to do. And it is the same principle of grace and obedience. We are saved by the grace of God, but not until we obey his voice. Now this feat was so remarkable that everyone did not believe it. He didn't even believe it was the same man that they had known that was blind. Now some said he was the same one. Others said they did not think so. They really did not know. But his parents identified him and confessed that he was born blind. But they refused to say how he received his sight because the people had already been warned not to acknowledge Christ, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. And so his parents were afraid to answer, but told the inquirers to simply ask the man himself. Now, did you notice, as we were reading John the 9th chapter, that this man was asked repeatedly how he was healed? And he responded over and over the same thing. His answer was rejected just as often as it was given. The enemies of Christ had such a mindset against Christ that they refused to conform to what the evidence demanded. And so the man was berated and ridiculed, and under this pressure we see the exceptional and remarkable qualities of this blind man come forth. These are the qualities we hold before us that are worthy of imitation, and the first one is his courage. We see his courage in confessing Christ as the one who healed him. Nearly everyone else was afraid to admit what they knew to be true. The penalty, that is, exclusion from the synagogue, was a more severe thing than just a denial from worship privileges. It would reflect on their character, their ability to earn a living among the people, their association with friends and with family. They would be treated worse than lepers, being unwanted and despised. The enemies of Jesus had already decided to reject Christ, and they refused to give any credibility to evidence that would sustain his claim as the Son of God. Even the man's parents would not stand with him. But this man was willing to endure whatever consequences his confession brought to him because he knew what was true. Friend, it was outstanding then, and it is still so now, to find people with determination to be steadfast and loyal for what they know is true, regardless of what others may or may not do or say. Most people do not find it difficult to remain faithful when conditions are favorable. It's when the going gets tough that the tough get going. Too many people have a religion of convenience, not one of conviction. We commend the blind man and urge that we be courageous in standing for the truth just like he did. And secondly, his disposition was one of faith over prejudice. Inasmuch as it was considered impossible for one born blind to see, yet, when he came seeing, he believed Jesus was from God. And this reminds us of the words of Nicodemus in John the 3rd chapter. Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles which thou doest except God be with him. The former blind man said, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. His attitude of faith overshadowed the attitude of others who defiantly stood in their prejudices and refused to be swayed by the evidence. The Pharisees said they knew about Moses, but as for Christ, we know not from whence he is. And the blind men caught the inconsistency they displayed, and so should we. If they admitted they did not know about Christ, why were they so sure about their position against him? Their trouble was they had already agreed not to believe, regardless of what they saw and what they heard. They were in the unenviable position of those who seized Peter and John after the raising of the lame man in Acts chapter 4. For they knew a notable miracle had been done, and this they could not deny, and they would not deny, but still they refused to admit it just the same. Eyewitnesses were there, even the man himself, and yet the miracle of Jesus was denied. But the former blind man would not allow prejudice, nor the pressure of other prejudiced people, to steer him away from the truth that he knew confidently. And in addition to his courage and faith, he was a man of gratitude. Our Lord taught people to be thankful for their blessings and to realize that God is the source of our blessings. Friend, it's just common courtesy to say thank you to those who favor you. And in our giving, we should give thanks. This man showed his gratitude in what he said and what he did. When he met Jesus again, Scripture says he worshiped him. He acknowledged, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash, and I went and washed and received sight. He gave credit to the one who deserved it. All the glory and praise was for Christ. Why should we not also recognize our blessings and the source of them and be demonstrative in offering thanks to God for what we receive, just as was true of this man? And fourth and last, we must mention his loyalty to Christ, even when few others were showing such loyalty. This is inseparable from his courage and from his faith. He was not loyal to the Pharisees, or even to his parents, before he was loyal to the Lord. Even when prodded and harassed, he maintained his loyalty to Jesus. Possibly this was because this man had an open mind and was subject to being convinced of truth. Friend, we do not well to allow anything to distract us from looking to Jesus and being loyal to him. Is it not worth our while to develop such characteristics as courage, and faith and gratitude and loyalty. But the story is not quite over. There is something else to learn. In verses 35 through 38, when Jesus and the man met again, Jesus asked him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" The man responded, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" His response might be simply paraphrased this way, "Just show me where he is. I am ready to believe because I know what I know." When Jesus identified himself to the man as God's Son, the man immediately answered, "Lord, I believe." That day proved to be a day of great physical and spiritual gain for this man born blind. And those who will be of the same disposition as he was can make today a great day of gain for themselves also. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.